I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's on, a none too shabby Topspiel in the Bundesliga as Leverkusen school Bayern and take control of the title race. So it has to be a big welcome to OTC Reacts. I'm Andy Brassel.
I'm Archie Rinter.
Yes, Leverkusen 3, Bayern Munich 0. Wow. So, Leverkusen are 5 points ahead in the Bundesliga title race after what can only be described as a comprehensive win, not just a 3-0. A 3-0 doesn't really describe it, does it, Archie? And if 5 years ago this weekend, Bayern were trailing Borussia Dortmund, this is kind of different, isn't it?
It is, and it's different to last season as well, where it went down to the final day, and even though Bayern Munich won it, it felt and still feels like Borussia Dortmund lost it. And if I compare that Dortmund team to this Leverkusen team, I think worlds apart in how good this Leverkusen team is as a unit. And that was the question ahead of this, was will they be able to play in the same way that they have been so far this season? Would they be able to repeat the performance that they put in at the Allianz Arena earlier in the season? And what they did was better, because I think in that game earlier in the season, both teams were still kind of working out and testing out each other. And in this one, Leverkusen's identity has grown so much in between in the season. Meanwhile, you see with Bayern that they everything they lack in that department, and the fact that they had to try and copy what Leverkusen did or try to mirror them, and just how much Leverkusen were superior to them in almost every department.
Yeah, we'll come back to Thomas Tuchel's tactical repair shop in a little bit, but let's stick with Leverkusen for the moment, because that they deserve all
you
the flowers.
You expect to get away with that?
I definitely do. Maybe you don't expect to get away with that because you got to speak to him at the weekend. But I'm safely caged.
Not true, and you can come back to me on that if you want.
Right? Okay. But I think we have to concentrate on Leverkusen. They really deserve it. It was an unbelievable performance. Still unbeaten in 23-24, which is a remarkable record. Now, we've seen before teams shine. Teams look like they could be pretenders to Leverkusen. But when it comes to the moment of impact, when it comes to facing the ogre, it's different. This time, as you say, it was Leverkusen who set the tone. And I guess the question is, what does this say about Xabi Alonso's ability to fill his team with confidence and to set them up tactically? Because Bayern seemed caught a little bit on the hop by what Leverkusen did, particularly starting with no orthodox centre forward in this big game. And how much of that is Xabi Alonso keeping Bayern guessing? And how much of that is the fact that he's had to adjust because of these absences that they've had in January? Because they've not had an easy January with absences for the African Cup of Nations and, of course, the injury to Victor Boniface, which is going to last a lot longer.
So, to answer the first part of your question, it speaks volumes about his team and how far they've come. And that's how far they've come within the system that they play, which is quite rigid in the setup. It is always a 3-4-2-1 in some form. It's just how they apply it that can be different. They will the real intelligent thing for me about it is that plan B is not changing the system, it's changing and varying up the tempo of that. And sometimes waiting out the opponent. And when I've spoken to Xabi Alonso after games, sometimes I see him kind of look at me and think, not quite. But when I've explained it like that, he's gone, yes, that's exactly what I want from my players. And I think that's so important because I think as an opponent, what you're wanting to do is make your opponent change their game plan. And the thing that you know with Leverkusen is that is not going to happen. And even in this game, where when you saw the lineups come out, I thought, and the fact you had what ended up being a front three of Adli, Teller and Wirtz, the first time that this front three have played together this season, I thought, this is something. Okay, what's he trying here? He's not gone with Frimpong as a right wing back. And I think that's what Thomas Tuchel was thinking when he put Sacha Boué on the left-hand side as well. So in that sense, I think that in the way that the game turned out, you could say that Xabi Alonso outthought Tuchel. And yeah, the fact is there is still enough flexibility within that system that for Leverkusen to shine. The biggest point that I've taken a long time to make and I will come to is that I think in 2024, the biggest learning that he's had is what kind of player does he need to lead the line in certain games? And this is where I talk about the flexibility of that system. So he's not had Victor Boniface, who, albeit he left something behind when it came to pressing, that wasn't off the ball, wasn't necessarily his greatest strength, but on the ball, his unpredictability where he doesn't know what he's going to do sometimes. But the benefit of that is that the opponent has no idea what he's going to do. And he's tried Patrick Schick, who just doesn't have that unpredictability to him. Borja Iglesias, who's arrived from Betis on loan, too early to say. But I think he saw the impact that Adli made off the bench against Stuttgart during the week. And he thought, you know what, in terms of the pace, but also the discipline that I think is required for the role, Adli's going to suit that best. And Teller has been a revelation in 2024 for doing the Swiss Army knife role of coming on and doing the jobs. And that's I think, the point here is that Xabi Alonso didn't want He wasn't looking for on-the-ball qualities that as much in this game. He was looking for who's gonna be doing jobs for me. And Adli and Teller, Wirtz, he would trust, you know, if he woke him up at 1:45 in the morning and said, I need you to do this for me, he'd back Florian Wirtz to do that.
Yeah, and I think it was really interesting what you were saying there about the idea of Xabi Alonso wanting players to interpret roles. And he's talked about that, and he talked to me about that in November, about wanting that to be more important than the actual tactical shape of the team almost. You know, giving players the freedom to interpret the role themselves. And I guess we saw that, A, from Teller when he came in, and obviously a slightly different proposition to Frimpong, who's been so important to them this season. And I guess those are the players I would really like to focus on. The scorers of goals 2 and 3, as it turned out, Alex Grimaldo, who was set up by Teller in, I guess, something that Bayern would have known was coming because Grimaldo has been so incredibly important for them this season. And then the use of Frimpong as a finisher, because as well as that amazing third goal, and we'll get onto what the hell Manuel Neuer was doing coming up for a corner with the last kick when they're 2-0 down. But the role that Frimpong played in finishing Bayern off was pretty big as well.
You can't just leave Alejandro Grimaldo's name in the middle there and not expect me to start with him.
Because
I just longingly look into the distance and think about that left foot. And all the things he can do with that left foot. It's incredible. I in terms of a technique of shooting and doing everything with that, I can't remember seeing something quite like that. I think it's the best left foot I've seen in the Bundesliga since Iron Robin, since David Alaba. Leroy Sané, if he maybe used his a little bit more, but that's a separate conversation.
I mean, he wasn't interested in clearing Frimpong's shot off the line with his, was he? I mean, let's be fair.
Look, to be fair to Sané, he has run 80 metres before that.
Yes, yeah.
Which is kind of forgotten, and it is the 93rd minute.
We'll pin it on Manuel Neuer instead.
Yeah, and we can't really see from that perspective either. Grimaldo, when he went through on goal against Manuel Neuer, I've seen so many kind of knees start to shake. Mm. And he was just like, yep, roof of the net, no problem. And I think what was so impressive about that was not just the goal, but if you look at the celebration as well, I've seen teams flip out when they score against Bayern. The few who have then got through that boss level of beating Manuel Neuer. But what's impressive for me is that the whole reaction from Leverkusen after everything they did on Saturday, which was spectacular, and when they play football as well, it should be mentioned, they are playing some of the best football we've seen in the Bundesliga in the last decade, at least, if not the best. There's this whole kind of, well, what did you expect? There's this kind of chest puffed out, and it's not getting overexcited about everything they're doing, which is a quality I would attribute to Dortmund last season. I would say in comparison, Leverkusen are like, yeah, we are this good and we're not going to lose our heads. And that for me is almost the most impressive part about it, is to be able to have this coldness of knowing that what we're doing on the pitch is special, but the secret to doing that is having the right mental switch. And that flows from Xabi Alonso, first of all, because without him, no one else, I think, has that concentration.
But this did mean something, didn't it? Pretty special. I mean, we saw Xabi Alonso and his assistants and possibly a few other people celebrating on the touchline. And then he took his 9 strong staff around the pitch afterwards. I mean, it's not all about him, which is quite unlike a top-level coach, isn't it? Because coaches, I guess that's what say Zinedine Zidane apart from a lot of top-level coaches or a lot of winning coaches at the elite level, that it was always assumed that Zidane had just lucked out because, you know, he didn't spend ages talking about his philosophy. And actually, Xabi Alonso, who I think because we know what he was as a player and we could imagine him becoming a coach and we could imagine what sort of coach he would become, I think people already have a handle on what sort of coach he is. But actually, he's about the teamwork. He's about sharing the praise and all that sort of stuff. How did it feel to be in the middle of that?
When you say be in the middle of that...
Look, I asked you the question. You take it from here. Interpret as you wish.
Right. Well, so being a touchline reporter, you're waiting to get out to your position after the game in the tunnel at Leverkusen because that's the shortest route to your position. So I actually saw Frimpong's goal from the tunnel. Well, I saw the ball start to arc, and I saw Leroy Sané. And from where I was expecting Sané to cut it. So when the net rippled, I was a bit surprised as well. But again, I didn't have a full picture. Anyway, straight after full time whistle, people start moving, and I start to just head for my position. The problem is, Xabi Alonso's there, and he's congratulating players, and I thought, oh good, I can go through this way. And then he turns back, and I didn't expect it, so I stop, and I've got my backpack on, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll go straight through the middle. Except he then keeps going, and I crash into some sort of hug between Xabi Alonso and his and a technical staff member that I can't name because I just didn't see them. And I was just like, and there was this kind of weird, like, I just heard this, oh, get out the way kind of thing. And I was like, I didn't mean to do this. I'm there some sort of awkward human turtle, just kind of stuck in the middle. And I just kind of like run on through, and I've got my producer behind me. I was just like, you didn't see that, did you? And he's just, he's got this beaming grin being like, I did see that. I was like, oh, great.
Well, I think the thing you have to watch for next is, you know, maybe this turns into some sort of urban myth. You might remember after the Super Bowl weekend we've just had, that story that what was once in the National Enquirer about Sean St. Ledger going out with Taylor Swift because they literally walked out of this nightclub in New York City at exactly the same time. So whether it's going to be fitness coach Archie Rintoutt in Bill next week, we'll have to wait and see.
I'll need to see the footage. Just quickly on the celebration, it should be said that for Xabi Alonso to go and do that sort of high-profile celebration, it took some persuasion that you wouldn't have necessarily seen on the telly, where Lukas Radetzky, who was leading it with the fans, you might have seen, like, he had to run over and briefly explain the significance to Alonso, being like, no, if the fans are calling you over, you come. No matter how proud a guy you are on the touchline. Mm. But it was at that point when Alonso was like, well, I'm not coming unless my coaching staff are coming with me as well. So that I think was the really good touch. And it does show you that he is always making sure. I've asked him about the success of set pieces, and he's talked about his assistant coach Sebas, as he calls him, for how important he's been in that regard. It is very much a team effort, and as it is at Leverkusen, even if I will make the point, it is a special story. Okay, let's enjoy the special nature of it. But it can only happen at a club like Leverkusen, where they didn't qualify for the Champions League last season, and because it has investor backing, they are able to suck that up and still make the outlay that they did on players in the summer, like Hoffmann, Boniface, Xhaka. That can't happen at a normal, traditional Bundesliga club, which is fine. But it's
Although,
just
of course,
worth
they did partly
out.
Offset that with the sale of Moussa Diaby, didn't they?
They did, but I can't think of any other club that would be able to not qualify for the Champions League and still be able to be like, okay, we can...
Front foot.
We can still be sure of continually making this outlay on players. And particularly since Corona, like, Leverkusen are able to like equal that out, and other clubs do not have that financial power. So if this kind of shock of a team going and beating Bayern in the Bundesliga title race was going to happen, then realistically it would have to have come from Dortmund, who are not run well enough, Leipzig, who put too much emphasis on young players, or Leverkusen, I would say. But I make it sound simple. The fact that Xabi Alonso has managed to unlock this is otherworldly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know what? As well as jostling Xabi Alonso's coaching team, I think you've been jostling our mailbag, because we've been blessed with some great feedback from you guys. Of course, you can always send it in to at OTC Pod on Twitter, etc. Also on Instagram under that handle. We've got one from Michael here, who's asked, despite their beautiful, fast-paced football, Leverkusen didn't give Bayern any real attempt at goal. And maybe actually this is a good opportunity for us to bridge into talking about Bayern and what went wrong. The attacking play might win them Leverkusen plaudits, but is it the defence that wins them the league? I mean, if you think, Archie, about all the defensive pratfalls with more or less the same players over the last couple of coaches, is that a low-key victory of Xabi Alonso's coaching spell?
I think it's high key.
High key.
it's Mariah Carey singing that high note in All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Like, okay.
It's something to be showing off about. But it's also, when you talk, I think too often we separate, well, look at the defenders. He's made the same out of them. When you are a Leverkusen team, when you are this Leverkusen team, it is not just about the defense. It is the way that they all press as one organism.
How important has Xhaka been?
Huge. He is the extended arm of Alonso on the pitch. And you see that it's funny. There's, I would say, all but one player is capable of being ordered about on the pitch by Xhaka. And the only player who I don't really see receiving much tactical advice is Florian Wirtz. But otherwise, when they're in a defensive situation, like, you've got Alonso on the touchline dealing with whoever's in earshot of him, and you've got Xhaka being like, right, you're there, you're there, you're there, you're there. Perfect, because I think he still has a point to prove after what happened at Arsenal. And also, he had a point to prove in Germany, where he was seen as this headless chicken of a amazing player, but just would lose it. A friend of mine said after the game, like, wow, isn't it amazing to see Granit Xhaka with a brain? because the first game I saw him live in was back in 2015. Gladbach against Augsburg, final day of the season. Gladbach had qualified for the Champions League. Okay. There was nothing on the line for Gladbach. And Granit Xhaka managed to get himself taken off within the first half by Lucien Favre, because the referee didn't want to send him off. He was like, look, can you take him off? Because I don't want to send him off. And this was after about half an hour, and the whole stadium rises to a floor, being like, oh, bless the little hothead who has kind of got us into the Champions League here. But yeah, he's managed to iron this out. And I think that it's amazing to see that so often, you know, we as journalists will have put players in boxes where you think, it's not coming out of that. And he has. And when we're wrong, I'm very happy to say it. And I wasn't sure if he was able to make this bridge. And again, it's taken the right person behind him to do that, the right people behind him, Mikel Arteta to begin with, because I don't think he becomes the player that he is now without him. But also Xabi Alonso. I mean, he has played under some real great idea givers in the game. That's a German bastardized translation.
Well, let's not have the monopoly on ideas, men, being Xabi Alonso. We've got to talk about Bayern.
Yep.
We've got a question here from Takim. How long do you think Thomas Tuchel will last, considering the inconsistent form since he's arrived? And will some players be on the chopping block? Now, on one hand, it felt like Bayern had that start again from the beginning when they got rid of Hasan Salihamidžić and Oliver Kahn, who didn't take it too well, right at the end of last season. And they made that decision before they went and won the league or got given it, on whichever way you want to look at it, on the last day at Köln. Now, Thomas Tuchel, to say that he's been in charge, as we record, for less than 11 months is remarkable to me. I'm sure I've said this on the pod before, but so much has happened in the time that Thomas Tuchel has been in charge. And so many times, seemingly, he's fumbled for reasons and he's thrown his players under the bus and all other sorts of stuff. I mean, I think at other incarnations of Bayern and in different jobs, there would have been lots of different points during this coming up to 11-month spell where Thomas Tuchel would have been fired. That's not been the case. Is he finally getting closer to that? Even though he's clearly not the only person to blame for A, what happened on Saturday, even if the tactics were really quite unusual, and for what's going on at Bayern at the moment.
The first sign that Thomas Tuchel would do something along these lines tactically at Bayern that we saw most, for me most recently, was the home game they had against Stuttgart, where they changed completely how they played to negate Stuttgart. Now, on the one hand, they won the game 3-0 and in a very comfortable manner. But you're thinking, Stuttgart have a budget which is 10 times less than you, and you're having to do this to negate them. Whilst you won this battle, the long-term picture looks worrying if you're having to bend the knee this much. And that's where, yes, you do apportion a sizable amount of the blame to him on Saturday, because you think about playing Sacha Boué at left back, a position he's not played in 4 years, for example.
What a first Bundesliga start. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, but then again, it's also about he's put a lot of faith in Leroy Sané, and Leroy Sané paid that back in 2023 and has not been paying that back in 2024. And the difficulty with Sané is that when you have the amount of potential and the amount of ability that he's shown, when you don't show that, then you are leaving yourself open to even more criticism, because people know that you can dominate a game. And when you don't do simple things such as be switched on enough to close down Robert Andrich from a throw-in, as Goretzka was furious at him for, then I think you're going to open yourself up to even more criticism. But even just the way he carried himself through the game, I had Thomas Hitzlsperger next to me who just couldn't believe that with 20 minutes to go, Sané was kind of traipsing over to take a corner, and he's like, you know they're losing. I was like, yes, it's a fair point. But look, the bigger picture of this at Bayern, and to answer the listener question, I think that at the latest, Thomas Tuchel will be gone in the summer. There is an overhanging pressure at Bayern of next season's Champions League final is in Munich. And even though they won the version after that in London in 2013, the scars are still very much there. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge has spoken before about how every summer he watches the final against Chelsea in some sort of sadistic ritual, which very much fits in with my image of Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. But it is still something that is burned into the psyche and something they would gladly erase. And I think they will not go into a season. It's difficult for them to go into a season with Thomas Tuchel now and a new season when everything has happened as it has. I would add that if you look at the problems with the squad, too many players in the Tuchel system, I think, are playing below their previous best that we've seen, and it's not so long ago that they were playing in different systems which were getting more out of them. Alphonso Davies didn't play at the weekend, but I'd include him. He was better under Hansi Flick. Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka also, and they were big fans of Julian Nagelsmann. Musiala as well. Coman is mercurial, even if he was has had his injury problems, but that's a problem as well, and was better under Flick as well, as was the case for Upamecano with Nagelsmann. And I think that, can you play with the same conviction all the time when you're thinking, but this doesn't quite work the same way it does for me? And I think that there is this individualistic thinking at Bayern because the hunger is not there. I think that's what leads to more of this.
Do you think the recruitment is part of that, though? I mean, obviously they pushed
the boat, because there's no overarching plan.
Yeah, like, obviously they pushed out the boat for Harry Kane, which is great. But I think the failure in recruitment is underlined by the fact that he had no shots on target and 18 touches in the game, which isn't a Harry Kane thing, by the way. You know, he has to be provided for. And the fact that they end up with this patched up defence, you get this guy to a really astute signing, I think, in Sacha Boey, who I think will do really well for them. But you get him to fix a problem position at right back. He gets his first start at left wing back. It's kind of a mess, isn't it? But on the other hand, you've got a situation where Tuchel is kind of leaning on Eric Dier, who's not been playing for Spurs, to sort of bring it all together with his leadership skills in that back three, which, you know, he did what he could. And I think you've seen some of those leadership skills from Dier so far. But it's a kind of make do and mend signing. Where is the strategy? And is that the question that has to be asked above and beyond Thomas Tuchel? Because that's what this defeat at Leverkusen really looked like, a failure of strategy, didn't it?
100%. Christoph Freund is the new sporting director since September, but you can't really see his signature over the team right now, and it's too early. It's what's happened before, and it's kind of murky to work out where it starts with Hasan Salihamidžić, and also how much power he was being given and how much he was just an agent of Uli Hoeneß and Marco Nepa. And it's I think deliberately devoid of responsibility, because the people who are responsible for it don't want to really take that, because that's how it works at succession Bayern, is you make sure that somebody else gets the fall, and oh, that's a shame, but I've still got the power. So that's very much how it feels. You'll know this, that sometimes there are things you would like that people forgot you said, which is a high proportion for me. And sometimes there's things that you remember saying where you're like, I still do stand by the fact that Harry Kane is a very expensive plaster for Bayern Munich right now. And sure, he does the goal scoring, but is there any way that everything really fits and gels more than two players in this team right now? I.e. Sané and Kane for the most part of the season. Musiala has, again, as was mentioning, not been anywhere near the level that he was under Nagelsmann. And when I see him more and more ghosting into the box to head the ball, I'm like, why are you using your Ferrari to store crates? Like, you drive the Ferrari, for God's sake. It's bizarre. But one of the huge things to come out of Saturday was Thomas Müller's epic rant on Sky Germany about what was going wrong and sounding like a coach. And the thing that really struck home to me is that to learn what Thomas Müller has in his career, he needed to do something which no other player apart from Manuel Neuer has really done in this squad. He lost games, and he lost games at key points. And that's what this newer generation of Kimmich, Goretzka, Sané, Gnabry. I know some of these have been injured a lot, but I wonder, A, if they just have that same level of quality that this past generation had, but also just the fact that Thomas Müller was playing in a slightly more patient time with making mistakes, even if it was Bayern. Like, there was a little bit more space for him to learn. And there just is this expectation, no matter what, that they have to win. And when you're doing that, like, even Leverkusen, to get to the point where they are now, they needed to lose 5-1 away at Frankfurt for certain lessons to come into them. And the thing is that those lessons, Bayern did that this season, but were any lessons heeded from it? And I think that the club can't accept losing. It's got to the point where it's so far ahead of everyone else. I'm not saying it should accept losing, of course, but the problem is almost the distance between them and their nearest competitors, because they've lost that ability to be able to be pushed by another team, and they've just got so comfortable. And Thomas Müller's criticism in that Sky rant that he went on, for me, was partly about the coach, but it was also just about the players around him being like, why can't they think like this? And my answer to that would be, you learn to think in those situations by having the kind of career and experience and exposure to these situations that you have had, and being smart enough to pick up on these things. But does the modern player think as much as Thomas Müller, who has learned these things with coaches not like Julian Nagelsmann, who are telling you every single thing that you do? Like, you're able to work this out on a pitch. And I think it's a generational shift to this next group. That was a bloody long point. I'm sorry.
No, honestly, we're having a great time. You, the listeners, are having a great time. But I do have to ding the bell in the OTC beer keller. But before we help you on with your coat, before I help Archie on with his coat as well, I've got a lot of sweeping to do and all that sort of business.
Is it going to be a white one at this rate?
No, but well, before we go, I think we've got to get to the bottom line, which is, do Leverkusen close out the title? And does Xabi Alonso stay next season? And are the two things connected? Because there was an editorial in Bild today saying, well, after the atmosphere on Saturday night, there's no way that Xabi Alonso can leave at the end of the season, come what may. I mean, for me, where do you take Leverkusen if you were to go on and win the league and cup double? And they're going to have to try pretty hard not to win the Pokal when you look at the rest of the field after they beat Stuttgart in that quarterfinal, that epic quarterfinal, actually, last Tuesday. What do you think? Do they win the title? And does Alonso go at the end of the season?
German football is the home of previous moments of epic skullduggery.
He's not letting me put his coat on, ladies and gentlemen. He's not letting me put his coat on.
When it comes to... You can't pose a question that big and expect me to go yes and walk out. Did you learn nothing from the previous half hour that's happened here?
It's true.
Skullduggery such as the mysterious leaking of Mario Götze's move to Bayern Munich as Borussia Dortmund approach a Champions League final. I think of Niko Kovac's move from Frankfurt to Bayern.
Before the cup final between the pair.
Before the cup final. And these things do have an impact on the season. So... look, there is no way in my mind that Bayern have not made significant advances for Xabi Alonso. I just don't think that he's as interested in them as he is in Liverpool or Real Madrid. I think that Leverkusen will get it over the line. Even if... My reason is partly because Bayern are... whilst they are better than the vast majority of the Bundesliga, and we shouldn't forget, before this game, we were talking about them playing the sixth best season in the history of the Bundesliga, which it didn't seem like that, but was the case. And it's still not that far behind that level. It's just, they're the only team I've seen who've managed to make an 8-0 win look somehow uncertain, which tells you which tells you where they're at. So if I'm answering your question, will Alonso stay beyond this summer? I still need some convincing because I'm not drinking enough of that Bayer Kool-Aid.
Well, look, we might have a lock-in. Let's see what we've got in the barrel. Thanks, as always, Archie. A satisfying OTC Reacts after a very, very satisfying game between Bayer Leverkusen and Bayern Munich. And roll on the rest of the Bundesliga season. Thanks for listening to today's episode of OTC Reacts. I will be back, as usual, on Thursday for our regular episode of OTC. We'll be joined, of course, by Dotton and by David Cartledge. Remember to subscribe in your podcast app so you never miss an episode. See you Thursday.
That I would describe as an episode where we had a lot of dessert. Okay, I'll re-describe it. Where I had a lot of dessert, and I'd like to apologize.
Yeah, save me some apple strudel, man.
I've got chocolate all around my mouth, and you're looking at me being like, what did you do?
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.